Radio Prague News. Czech Roman Catholics have been commemorating Cyril and Methodius, two missionaries who brought the Christian faith and the Cyrillic alphabet to the Czech lands in 863. Some 30,000 people attended a special mass at Velehrad, South Moravia. And the 14th All-Sokol meeting culminates at Prague's Strahov Stadium on Wednesday and Thursday with mass gymnastics performances. July the 5th is a national holiday in the Czech Republic commemorating Saints Cyril and Methodius, Greek missionaries who brought Christianity to the Czech lands in 863. They also created the Cyrillic alphabet and translated the Gospels and liturgical books into Slavonic, which at that time had no written form. The two brothers are considered the founders of Slavic literature. As every year on this day, thousands of believers made a pilgrimage to Velehrad in South Moravia, where the missionaries were based. Addressing a congregation of some 30,000 believers, Cardinal Miloslav Vlk said that the church should move with the times and come closer to the people. He said it was vital to present the New Testament in a manner comprehensible to today's young generation. The mass served by Archbishop Jan Graubner was held out in the open air and dozens of people collapsed in the scorching heat. Medics on standby said people suffered largely from dehydration and sunstroke. The Sokol, or Falcon, athletics body, a physical exercise organization founded in 1862 during the Czech National Revival, is holding its 14th All-Sokol meeting at Prague's Strahov Stadium this week. The event culminates on Wednesday and Thursday with mass performances at the stadium. Some 18,000 gymnasts of all ages will perform orchestrated compositions to the sound of music. Czech expats from around the world are taking part. The Sokol Athletics Body is one of the oldest organizations in the world. Its modern era began with its revival after the fall of communism. But even during the dark period of Czech history, expats around the world kept its spirit alive. The All-Sokol meeting takes place once in 6 years. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Thursday should be another scorching hot day with clear skies and temperatures reaching 32 degrees Celsius, but the end of the week is expected to bring some relief with rain in places and a drop in temperatures to between 24 and 28 degrees. I'm Daniela Azarova and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to the English service of Radio Prague. My name is Dita Asiru. Now, with Wednesday, July the 5th, a state holiday here in the Czech Republic, commemorating the Saints Cyril and Methodius, who introduced Christianity in the Slavic language to the Czech lands, we have a special program for you today. In an extended Czechs in History, we visit the town of Třeboň, some 150 kilometers south of Prague. This is where the Schwarzenberg nobility resided until the Second World War. Join me now as I take a tour of the dominant Schwarzenberg tomb with my guide, Paul Stashek.
Welcome on the sepulchre building of the family Schwarzenberg in Třeboň. My name is Paul Stashek. This building was constructed in the year 1877 from the initiation of Lady Leonora Schwarzenberg. Why did construction was made in this year? Before, all dying members of family were deposited in the near village church, about half kilometer from here, and when the space in the underground was full, it was necessary to make this new building. Well, it was finished in the year 1877, after 4 years. As to the architecture, you see, it is the style of the so-called neo-Gothic style, which was imported from England.
Now, if you could tell us a little bit about the Schwarzenberg family here, why they have a crypt here in this place.
Yes, this is connected with the historical event of the family Schwarzenberg. Trebon was the first place Lord of Schwarzenberg settled in the Czech kingdom, in the part of the monarchy Austria-Hungary. And the first member of family came and settled in Trebon in 1660, short after the end of the Thirty Years' War. Successively, they gained further states by purchase, for instance, Hluboká, and Český Krumlov by means of hereditary, after one aunt of the family Schwarzenberg married to the family Eggenberg, and because Eggenberg had no children, she as a wife inherited the all estates. And so successively, the possession of family Schwarzenberg was so large that they possessed about the whole South Bohemia. And in the year 1848, when in Czechia finished the serfdom administration, the family Schwarzenberg possessed on their estates 250,000 of employees, yes, and they possessed about 1/3 of 1,000,000 of hectares, forests, fields, and fish ponds, yes. Therefore, the family was very rich, and that was the answer why direct in Trebon they finished this building.
And until when was the family here in Trebon?
Adolf Hitler, during the beginning of the protectorate, confiscated all the estates of family. That was in the 1940. Why did Adolf Hitler so? Because the ruler of the family, Schwarzenberg, refused to support with the millions crowns the war machinery of Adolf Hitler, and therefore all the estates, Český Krumlov, Hluboká, Třeboň, were confiscated. Dr. Adolf Schwarzenberg in the year 1940 escaped via Switzerland to the United States and there stayed until the finish of the war. And they never returned more to Czechoslovakia, because he was informed that the communism and socialism is of development, that his property will be very soon expropriated and nationalized. Yes, and so this building is in the possession of the state since 1945.
We're standing in front of the stately building here, neo-Gothic building. Can you tell us what we can find inside today?
Yes, two compartments. The first floor, that is the compartment dedicated to the chapel own, which is used for the sacral purpose, yes. And in the underground, there's a depository for 26 coffins. In the first floor, which had an octagonal shape, we can see the imitation of the stone ashlars, because the whole building is constructed of bricks hard burned, yes, and covered with a very durable plaster. And on this plaster, there are scratched the shapes of stone ashlars. So that the impression is as it would be made from stone, yes? And this plaster is very nice decorated with the stucco of art. And the inside space until now was never repaired, because the plaster was made with a special method which is very durable, yes? The space dominates the altar, which is very modest one, which is made from white sandstone, fine alabaster, and Istrian marble. And in the center is standing the sculpture of Jesus Christ, but not as a symbol of suffering and being crucified, but as a symbol of hope. Namely, he was resurrected the third day after crucifying, and that was the purpose to made him so.
Did the sculpture of Jesus Christ, did it stay intact during the communist period here?
Yes, Christ was left here during the communist time also. During the communism, this space of the chapel was regularly used as the space for concert for classical music. We have entered the own underground, where are deposited 26 coffins. The eldest nobleman is Johann Nepomuk the First, yes, and we can walk nearer. On the very top is the bust of the Johann Nepomuk, and on the left is the statue of love, and to the right is the symbol of justice.
So in front of me, this coffin in front of me, yes. There is a body inside it now?
Yes, there is the body embalmed and put in the coffin, and there are double metal plates, the inner from copper and the outer from zinc.
Now I wonder whether there have been any legends or myths about ghosts down here?
As to the chapel, there are none, but there is a legend of the ghost on the castle in the town, but this legend is still connected with the predecessors of Schwarzenberg family, namely the family Rosenberg. Yes, and there they told a legend about the White Lady, which was the unlucky daughter of the Oldrich Rosenberg, who gave his daughter to the Liechtenstein nobleman to Moravia. And this nobleman handed with his wife very, very bad. And this lady wrote several letters which are preserved until now. They are kept in the state archive, which is also located in the Trebon castle. And these letters document the really cause of the complaining of their fate. And when this lady died, the legend tells that she began appear sometimes during night, another time during days, on several castles in South Bohemia, also in Telč, in Krumlov, and in Luboká, and in Třeboň also. And she changed on her hands the color of the gloves. When she told the black gloves, that was the forecast that somebody will die very, very soon. When she put on the red gloves, it was the foretold of the fire of some castle. And when she told the white gloves, it was the foretell of born of a child. Yes, that was the legend.
This looks like a very small coffin.
Yes. The first coffin in this row, that they have put Lady Eleonora Schwarzenberg, who born this baby. It was Prince Walter Prosper, who died after 2 days. But why this coffin is deposited here out of the row? Why? Because it was illegitimate child. When she stayed in Great Britain, she fell in love with one English nobleman, and from this love was born this child. Yes, you see here a small vessel. In this vessel is kept the heart of this baby. Yes.
And why is it separately in a vessel?
Yes, it was. It is interesting that the main crypt of the bodies of the family Habsburg in Vienna, all bodies are kept in one church, and in another special church were kept the heart of the bodies. We don't know why it was used, but it's true, it is so, yes. And here we see the origin bands, funeral bands from the time of the funerals. Yes.
Different colors: black, green, red.
Yes. The bands decorated the wreaths. Yes, the wreaths used by the funeral. And on this wall is the text of the telegram, which sent Emperor Franz Josef to the members of the family Schwarzenberg. Yes.
So it's been put on a plaque, the different telegrams, yes, for the different family members.
And this coffin is a special shape that was made in China, because the son of the Adolf Josef was a diplomat who was engaged in the Asia, and who died in Shanghai on the diphtheria. And there was put in the China coffin and sent by ship over ocean. Yes, and therefore the shape of the coffin is quite another from the European ones.
Yes, it's looking very simple.
The name was Karl Lorenz from Schwarzenberg. One intimate story for the family of Schwarzenberg. Edmund Chernov. That was originally the member of Schwarzenberg family, but because he married a lady which was not noble, yes, it was normal town lady, yes, he was engaged in some employment in Prague in one bank, and he has stolen some big amount of money and put it aside. And that was a shame for the family Schwarzenberg. And they went from the family and accepted this name.
So he was disowned now Edmund Chernov. Yes.
And he traveled to Africa, and by the travel back from Africa,
he died on board
died
the ship.
On malaria, and he was, his coffin was put to the ocean. I show you still the last coffin, which was buried here in the year 1939, and that was of the father of Dr. Adolf Schwarzenberg, Johann Nepomuk II. And he died 1938 in Vienna, but in the meantime, Adolf Hitler made an Anschluss, the so-called Anschluss, occupation of Austria, and therefore the coffin was sent half a year later, in the 1939. And that was the last funeral. Dr. Adolf participated, and now I can tell you maybe one legend also. We are told that the German Gestapo wanted to arrest Dr. Adolf very soon after the finish of the funeral. And therefore he was warned, and he escaped across the frontier, across the border to Bavaria and Switzerland, and escaped to the United States of America.
What about the Schwarzenberg family today?
Yes. Today there are still living 36 members of this family. And they are organized and administered under the title of the so-called Foundation of the Family Schwarzenberg. The president of this foundation is in Czech living Karel Kníže from Schwarzenberg, in English, Charles, Prince of Schwarzenberg, who restituted and has now in private possession the castle Orlik, which is about 60 kilometers southwest from Prague, and a small castle Čimelice. He was advisor of president 2 years, 1990 until 1992, and now he is senator. He is now several years senator, yes. But the seat of the foundation is in the principality of Liechtenstein, yes. And under this foundation, they are administered the Czech district of the property, 2 districts of property in Germany, 4 districts being now in Austria, in Steiermark, in Murau, that's the local city is called Murau, and still one palace in Vienna. The palace was totally destructed by bombarding in the year 1945, when Vienna was conquered by Russian army, but it was very, very nice repaired and reconstructed. And in this palace is also run one hotel, and there is also located the embassy of Switzerland. Thank you.
And that is all we have time for. Tune in again tomorrow when Linda Mashtalit takes a look at the history of the Sokol movement in another Radio Prague special. My name is Dita Asiru. For more information about our station or other interesting facts about the Czech Republic, visit our website at www.radio.cz/English. You can also send us an email to english@radio.cz or a good old-fashioned letter to 12099 Prague 2 in the Czech Republic. All the best and happy listening from all of us here.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha.